Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned in to Paranormal Horizons, only on 106.5 KITC FM and Blog Talk Radio. Join your hosts, Jason Ophir and Pat Rice, as we delve into the world of the paranormal. The world of ghosts, UFOs, demons, and even Bigfoot.
Welcome to Paranormal Horizons, another episode here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm Pat Rice.
And I'm Jason Ophir.
Welcome, everybody. We had a guest lined up this evening, Jason, but she got some food poisoning, I hear.
Yes, I received a message, so we won't have our guest this evening, but and we're also having some problems connecting with Blog Talk, so I don't even know if this is going out.
Yeah, I think we sound pretty good right now, so we can... do you see any other errors on the screen?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a mess. We might be talking to ourselves right now, but I can't log into chat. Skype wouldn't let us call in, so we had to go old school and connect via Direct Connect, which is like just one step better than using a cell phone. So, like I said, we might just be communicating with ourselves. I have no idea if this is even going out.
I don't either, Jason, although I think your voice sounds kind of sexy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. We had to completely come up with something to discuss this evening here on Paranormal Horizons. So, and, you know, Jason, by the way, I just wanted to say last week we had a roundtable, and it was really interesting. You know, we had Kelly Jo Monahan and Joey Giggles and R.L. Demery and his brother Dennis. It was a good show, and look for that show to be rebroadcast on KITC-FM. It didn't make it up into the queue last Saturday because there was some technical problems.
Why are there always technical problems? What is it?
It's, I don't know.
Is it something we're doing?
Well, we have often said that it could be ghosts or something like that, but I'm gonna blame it on people.
Yeah, I it did occur to me that we do this show on Blog Talk Primetime, and I just wonder if their servers are overloaded. Maybe we need to change the show time to where it's not so hectic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, you know, we will reschedule Anna Simon on the show when she's feeling better, because she is really an interesting person. She's a psychic and a medium and a spiritual teacher, and I was looking forward to talking with her about her teachings, and she helps people find their path in life.
That is something I really need.
I do, too.
I'm not even on the path. I can't even see the path,
well,
let alone know which way
to
go.
You're on
it.
Some kind of path. Are you following the yellow brick road by chance?
A yellow is too positive. It's probably the black brick road. Try saying that fast 3 times.
Well, you know what? I believe that sometimes, even though, you know, our path might not be what we think it should be, we have to accept it and know that we are on the path, but we do have choice. We have choice to change our path.
Yes, and so, hopefully my path will be changing and I'll be diverting on a bright, sunny future.
I hope so, Jason. Yes. All right, well, so we just picked some topics to talk about tonight. And What are they, Jason?
Well, I did some extensive research
with
the time that we had, and I came up with an article on paranormalencyclopedia.com that lists the top 10 paranormal hoaxes, and I thought it would be fun to go through each one of them and have a brief discussion about it. And yeah, it should be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely, because in all the conversations that I've had throughout, you know, a couple of years of doing a paranormal show, I do believe that, you know, some of these things are very true, and I do believe that some of them are hoaxes and, you know, maybe started out as something small and then got, you know, exaggerated into a big story, kind of like the Loch Ness Monster.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many theories that, you know, that's just a bunch of blarney, if you will. So what's first on the list?
Well, here we go. For number 10, King Tut's Curse. Mm-hmm. When Egyptian pharaoh Tutankhamun's tomb was discovered early in the 20th century, a curse was found inscribed over the entrance. Death shall come on swift wings to him who disturbs the peace of the king. Before long, stories were being told about unnatural deaths of workers on the site, and it was called King Tut's Curse. Eventually, it was found its way into popular culture and set the stage for a whole
Is it a big word?
No, it's a little word, but I'm slow.
Oh, okay.
How do you say that?
Well, I've got to look at the screen. Genre.
I don't know. Is that French?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Sorry. A whole subgenre of horror stories and movies. In 1980, the security officer for the original excavation site admitted the stories had been circulated to scare away thieves. Historical records show that most excavation workers went on to lead long and healthy lives.
Right, but the gentleman that actually discovered the tomb, and without my notes in front of me, I'm not going to remember his name, but he died an early death.
Wasn't he bit by a mosquito?
Yeah, from the tomb. It escaped from the tomb.
Okay, a tomb mosquito. A tomb-ito.
I'm making that up.
I'm not. I'm pretty sure
No,
I think what it was, he was bit by a mosquito and it got infected.
Yeah, and back in the day, that was, you know, anything like that, they didn't have the cures that we have now, because when was that tomb opened up, Jason? Wasn't it like in the 1920s?
Yeah, I think it was really early.
Yeah, and so they didn't have quite all the things. But yeah, that I do believe that is a hoax.
People tend to hype things.
Yeah.
You know?
It was really fun to believe when I first, you know, started reading it, and, you know, all these scary things happening with King Tut. Plus, he was a very young pharaoh that died at a young age, but he was wealthy, and there was so much interesting artifacts that they found in his tomb. Did you ever get the chance to see any of the artifacts when they've shown them?
Yeah, the sarcophagus.
It's really amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So that's it. Did this article disprove the King Tut's curse? I think it makes a good argument for it.
I think so, too. So, yeah, we got several more to go through here. So the next one is the fairies.
Yeah. Did you want to?
Well, go ahead and read it, because the screen's kind of far away from me. And
yeah, we're improvising
right
now.
And we don't want to have another technical problem tonight. So
okay.
Go ahead.
Number 9, the Cottingley Fairies. In 1970 and 1920, young English cousins Elise Wright and Frances Griffith produced a series of photographs depicting themselves interacting with fairies. In modern times, it's hard to imagine how anyone could have been fooled by these obvious fakes. But in the early 20th century, they were convincing enough to attract a huge following and dupe such notables as Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. It was not until 1981 that Wright and Griffith, I'm having trouble with words tonight, I think I just had a stroke, admitted the hoax. Although they continued to claim that they had indeed seen fairies, and that one of the photos was genuine. Now, I'm looking at the photos here. They're really popular. You can Google, just Google Cottingley fairies, and they obviously look like cutouts. I don't know
they
how
do.
That would fool anybody, but maybe times were different back then.
Well, you know, Jason, I really want to believe in fairies. I really do. And because they're just, you know, so cute. And I used to go to Disneyland when I was a little girl, you know, and they had Tinkerbell.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and Tinkerbell was a pretty cool fairy. So I would like to believe in fairies. I don't really think they exist, although I do want to say I talked to one guest on Super Unknown who was very adamant that there are fairies in the world, but it's almost like an angel type thing. You have to have the ability to see them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But that does, from the picture that we're looking at back in the 1917 and 1920 when this was created, it really, really doesn't look real. But again, I wish there were fairies.
It would be interesting. But the main question I have is, did you go on It's a Small World?
Oh, yes.
Did they have Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yes.
Then?
Yes. Awesome. Yeah. Although we got sick of It's a Small World. Because after a few times of that, even as kids, you were just like, oh, come on. It's a small world after all.
Oh,
it's a small world after all.
What have we started here?
Yeah.
What about Space Mountain? Did they have that?
Yes. That came later on, but I went on that several times. And, of course, they had the Matterhorn and the Haunted House.
Oh, I love the Haunted House.
Oh,
that
man.
Is great.
Yeah.
If anybody hasn't been to that, it's really cool.
Yeah, I haven't been to Disneyland in a very, very long time, but I used to go there a lot as a kid because I grew up in Southern California. So we have a lot of good family memories and, you know, good times. That was the original Disneyland when you still had tickets,
mm-hmm.
you know. So.
Well, here's a strange fact that you don't even know about me. I used to go to a Catholic military school that was literally really close to Disneyland. So on the weekends, you know, if your parents had the bucks, you could spend the weekend and go to Disneyland.
Really?
It was a brutal school. It was called St. Catherine's, and it was run by Catholic nuns who were, let me tell you, they were abusive. I stepped out of line one time to get a drink of water, like literally bent 2 feet to get a drink out of this fountain, and they like hit me. And yeah,
you got
really
spanked?
Well, I had a bloody lip.
Wow.
It was brutal. I guess drinking water is a crime in military school.
Well, you know, I did go to Catholic school, not my entire school year, but throughout my family history, because I have a lot of siblings, all of us went to Catholic school at different periods of time, not military, but Catholic. And we have some very funny stories that weren't necessarily funny at the time about the nuns, because they weren't very nice either.
No.
So, yeah, I hear you there. Wow, interesting. Okay, well, yeah, love Disneyland. And, Tinkerbell, I think she's real. So I'm just saying.
I'm going to say that I absolutely do not, and I'm saying this for the record, I do not believe in fairies at all.
Okay. All right. What is now? We're kind of counting down on the list. Now we're on number eight.
The Cardiff Giant. In 1869, workers digging in a well in Cardiff, New York, uncovered what appeared to be the petrified remains of a giant 3-meter man. That's 10 feet, folks. Archaeologists declared that the body to be fake, but the public reaction was more accepting, especially among those who considered it evidence in support of biblical history. The body became a business asset as crowds paid for a glimpse. And showman P.T. Barnum tried to acquire the body, but eventually made his own replica, causing additional controversy over which was the genuine giant. In December 1869, a tobacconist, I guess that must be a tobacco baron.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting.
Money.
I've never actually heard that word before. George Hull confessed to the hoax. The body was sculpted from concrete and buried a year prior to when it was dug up.
Darn it.
So that sounds like a known hoax. But
I know. I wanted to believe that one.
Were there giants in the Bible? There must be. They're saying it was in support of biblical history.
Yeah, I can't quote it, but I know there are. But when you first, I'd never heard of this hoax, the Cardiff Giant. So when you just started first reading it, I thought, well, maybe it was a prehistoric man who was a giant. But now somebody confessed that they made this body. I mean, so, but obviously somebody did it for money.
Yeah, it reminds me of like the stuff that we see nowadays, like the Slender Man and stuff, where like somebody reports it and then there are sightings all over the world, and it just makes you think it's all fake.
Right, or the Holy Mary, or, you know. All right, well, we know that one was a hoax. Okay, darn it. I wanted to believe that.
Well, yeah, there's no giants. I believe there's no giants. Maybe there are.
Well, but we know, though, there's been very tall, real people.
The tallest, I don't know. I think 8 foot something, maybe. I don't think anybody's hit 9 feet. I think 8 something.
Yeah.
But maybe was, 9. I don't know.
There was a guy in Missouri.
There was a guy way back, like in the 50s or something.
Yeah.
Super, super tall.
Yeah. And he, I don't recall his name. He didn't live very long because he ended up getting an injury on his leg, and he got gangrene and died. But I think he was like in that 8 foot range. So, yeah. Well, yeah. Anyway, okay. What's our next?
I'm gonna refrain from doing number 7. It's a Uri Geller's spoon bending, and I'm gonna refrain from that because it's never actually been proven to be a hoax. For people that aren't aware, he's the guy that goes around bends keys by rubbing his fingers on them and spoons and stuff. And a lot of magicians like James Randi, a very well-known magician and person that exposes magicians. He showed that all the stuff that Uri Geller had done can be reproduced. But he's never confessed. Uri Geller's never confessed to being a fake. So I don't know that it's necessarily a for sure hoax.
Well, what do you mean it can be reproduced?
Well, there's certain techniques that you can do to make the spoon bend, like preparing them. Bending them ahead of time to make them weak, and then they appear to like bend in your fingers. Now, Uri Geller back in the, probably it was the 70s, maybe it was the 80s, was on The Tonight Show. And he wasn't aware that James Randi was going to be there. And so James Randi caught Uri Geller off guard and created a very specific controlled experiment for Uri Geller to do on live television. But when Uri Geller was there on television, he wasn't able to bend the spoons. And so a lot of people are saying that supports that it's a fraud because James Randi was there setting it all up.
Wow. Interesting. I just do believe that that is possible. Yeah, I just wanted to remind everyone, if you're just tuning in to Paranormal Horizons here on blogtalkradio.com and KITCFM 106.5 or www.kitcfm.com, we are just chatting with myself, Pat Rice, and co-host Jason Ophir. We are kind of winging it this evening. Our special guest got ill and wasn't able to join us tonight. So if you did want to call in and chat with us, we do have a call-in number, which is 215-383-3999, 215-383-3999 if you want to talk with us. It's kind of another round table, although we're going through the top 10 hoaxes of the world, and we're just getting down to number 6. We just talked about spoon bending, but you know,
spoon bending, that sounds funny.
But you know, I do believe though, Jason, there is the power of the mind. I've never really seen anybody do it, and call me naive or whatever, but I know, I believe that we just have parts of our brain that we're not using, and that I do believe that some people can do that, and we're going to start seeing, you know, more of that as we develop our brains.
So you believe in superpowers?
Mm-hmm. Well,
I kind of do too. I'm not going to lie.
I guess you could call it superpowers. Yeah. So, I want to say hi to Sherry. She just texted me and said she's listening. So thank you, Sherry, for tuning in this evening to Paranormal Horizons.
Where we're winging it with technical difficulties.
Yeah, I know. We have to apologize. We always seem to have some little thing that happens. But That's the way it goes. What's our next item?
Number six, and here's one that everybody should know. If you're listening to Paranormal Horizons, you should know this. Number six, the Amityville Horror. In 1974, Ronald DeFeo Jr. shot and killed six members of his family in Amityville, New York. A year later, the Lutz family moved in, only to move out 28 days later, claiming they had been terrorized by ghostly presences. Their story became a best-selling book by Jay Anson and the basis of a series of films. The franchise has been highly successful, banking on the claim of it being true. On a closer investigation, however, it seems that not much, if any, of the story can be verified. Police and other records contradict the book's account, and many holes have been found in the story. In 1979, lawyer William Weber claimed, this is, I'm quoting him, "I know this book is a hoax. We created this horror story over many bottles of wine." So, yeah.
Well, you know, okay, he admitted it. However, we know from many other accounts, and we've talked to some of them, the Becker family, Stephen LaChance, Bill Bean, that they actually had experiences where, you know, they were just, you know, scared to death from hauntings that happened in their home. So I could buy into that, other than this guy saying that they made it up.
That must be good wine, because that is a hell of a story.
Well, obviously they came up with a good business plan, I guess.
Yeah, how many, I don't even know how many Amityville movies came out. I know that there are several. There's a lot of money to be made there.
Yeah, but like I said, Jason, I don't want to invalidate that there's others that have had real life experiences of hauntings and, you know, things happening. Maybe not some of them as scary as the Becker story or Stephen LaChance or Bill Bean, but it happens.
So, yeah, well, I do believe in haunting.
Yeah, and we, as a matter of fact, we may have an opportunity to do an investigation locally.
Mm-hmm.
Someone contacted us and believes they've got something weird happening on their property, so we're going to be checking that out.
Yes, that's going to be interesting, and I think maybe we can have to get some permission to do a show on it or make it anonymous or something, but there's got to be some way we can...
Well, once we get out there and find out what's really going on, we can do a follow-up on the radio for sure. But that's right here in Oregon, and which is the oldest city in Oregon, which makes sense that there would be some spirits hanging around. And, you know, there's, you know, Indians used to live here and burial grounds and things like that. So
a lot of haunted houses in Oregon City. You got the McLaughlin House.
Yeah.
Got all sorts of things going on up there.
There is a lot. It's really a very interesting city. It's not you know, super big. It's still quaint and has lots of history. So
yeah.
All right, what's next on our list?
Well, I was looking at number five and I had no idea what it was talking about. So I think we'll skip number five.
Okay.
It'll be a mystery. This is the first time I'm seeing it because this is kind of an impromptu show, so I didn't have time to really look at each one until I'm reading it. So let's go to number four.
Okay.
Loch Ness Monster, the Surgeon's
Photo. I love Nessie.
Photo. Nessie. There have been many hoaxes associated with the Loch Ness.
Sorry, everybody. Tuna just
That was
decided.
Awesome. Tuna
just joined the show.
That cat just, like, totally ransacked the show.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, Sherry, you know Tuna, so, yeah. Okay.
Okay, sorry. There have been many hoaxes associated with Loch Ness Monster, but none more enduring than the Surgeon's Photo submitted to the London Daily Mail by Dr. R. Kenneth Wilson in 1934. It wasn't the first sighting of the monster or even most convincing, but for decades the photo was an icon in the world of cryptozoology. The hoax is believed to have been orchestrated by a photographer, Marmaduke Wetherall. That's an interesting
name.
That's
a mouthful.
That is a mouthful. I had trouble getting that one out. Who had previously been humiliated after taking photos of fake monster footprints in a 1975 news article.
Wow.
So yeah. They're saying that it was the picture, and everybody should know that picture if you Google it, because it's like the most famous picture of Nessie. They're saying it was actually a toy submarine attached to a wooden neck.
Well, you know, that picture is probably fake, like you're saying, but, you know, the whole legend of the Loch Ness Monster had been going on for a very, very long time. Why couldn't there be some sort of prehistoric creature living in the lake, Jason?
There could be.
I mean,
I think that's more believable than Cottingley fairies.
Yeah. And you know, we've heard about a monster. Well, I don't even know if we should call it a monster, but let's just say a prehistoric creature in Lake Tahoe. We've heard about one. Mord McGee told us about one that was in the Great Lakes.
I can't remember.
Yeah, but you know, we've heard about these things, and I don't know. I just kind of believe that could be true. And there was other people this guy made this fake picture, but there was other people throughout the years that said, you know, they saw this gigantic thing, you know, in the ocean, in this lake and all of that. So I don't know.
I think I look like a prehistoric creature. Don't I?
Well, no. You,
come on, Pat.
You're much more handsome than that.
Oh, well, thank you.
Hey, you know what, though? Before we go back to our next hoax, I think we should play a commercial. And
we got callers, too. So why don't we go to commercial? Let's take some callers and continue our little fun thing here.
Here on Paranormal Horizons, KITCFM 106.5.
And since this, I'm sorry.
No, I'm done.
Oh, okay. I'm jumping the gun here. I'm so excited. So anyway, since we're kind of keeping it a little lighter here today, let's play a little comedy from Edwin Becker, author of True Haunting.
This is author Edwin F. Becker. My success with 1-800-RENT-A-GHOST has been such that I have a whole new enterprise. It is for those that are thinking, man, I can't wait for that zombie apocalypse. Well, I have the answer for you. Dial 1-800-OWN-A-ZOMBIE. You'll be the center of attention wherever you go. What a surprise those Jehovah's Witnesses will get when they knock on your door. Are you the black sheep of the family? Just think of the terror you can bring to that next family gathering. I'll bet you never knew Battle Uncle Ned could jump tables and run so fast. Or, take your zombie to the next high school reunion. You can turn him loose on those nerdy brainiacs that made fun of you and say goodbye to their high IQs. Laid off from your executive job? Take your special friend to the boardroom to help you say farewell to your boss. Or add a new meaning to the term budget cuts. Neighbors giving you problems making noise? Introduce them to your new pal and stand back, because all will be quiet very soon. You'll be waiting for that next a-hole to look at you and say, bite me. Because anyone who gives you the finger really does give you the finger.
Excuse me, kind sir.
Dial 1-800-OWN-A-ZOMBIE. Order now and get the free book, Sewing on Limbs Can Be Creative. Not responsible for infectious disease, death, mayhem, severed limbs, cannibalism, paranoia, loss of sanity, nor that god-awful stench. And one more thing. There will be no returns.
All right, and we are back here on Paranormal Horizons. Edwin Becker, author of True Hauntings, and they're coming out with a second book. True Hauntings number 2, which is going to be written from the perspective of Marcia Becker. So Tuna has joined the show again. Sorry, Kitty decided to jump up again. And hey, you know what? Sorry, it's just been one of those nights, Jason. So everybody, thank you for bearing with us here on Paranormal Horizons. We got a couple of callers. Let's go ahead and get our...
Yeah, we have two callers, and let's just take them in order of who's been holding a longest.
Yeah, let's do it. Hello, welcome to Paranormal Horizons. Who's this?
This is Sherry.
Hi, Sherry. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. I just had a question. Pardon me?
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I just had a question about when you're counting down your, or you got your countdown on certain things, and one was how much of your brain do you use?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if how many people out there saw Lucy? The movie Lucy.
How many people? What, Sherry?
Saw the movie Lucy, to where her brain. There was a lot. She got to 100% capacity on her brain, and I just wonder. You know, I know nobody can possibly do that, but it does make you wonder. Is it possible to use more than what you've got?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Is it possible that you can, you know what I mean?
I've heard, and I'm certainly not an expert in this, you know, the rumor out there is that you only use, 10% of your brain?
Yeah.
Right.
I had this conversation in school because I'm in a medical type program, and I was told that that's actually not true, that we actually use
our
brain. So I can't say for certain, but that's what I was told.
Well, but, you know, Sherry, you bring up a good point, because I haven't seen that movie, but I did see the trailers, and the point of the movie is that she's using so much of her brain, and then she has all these powers, right?
Yeah, and it's like overcoming her, and she doesn't even know how to deal with it. It's just coming to her. It's just there, and she doesn't know how to deal with it.
Right. Yeah. Does she use it positively or negatively in the movie?
She's actually positive. She's getting rid of what's bad on the earth. She just, you know, she's like, you're bad, you're gone.
And can just
immediately get rid of evil.
Yeah, right on.
And she had some really serious powers in that movie. I saw it. It was actually a pretty good movie.
Really? Well, I've got to check that out,
too. Yeah, you need to see that.
Yeah, well, right on.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's kind of interesting.
Hey, Pat Rice, to Jason. Hey.
Hi.
Hi.
Why do you have a can of tuna?
What? Tuna joined the show.
We're going to be eating tuna for dinner if he doesn't start jumping on the...
He keeps jumping on the computer, Brian. Brother Brian.
We're going to be eating tuna for dinner. I just checked. I just checked online, and it said that the 10% use of the brain is a myth.
The can of tuna jump.
Yeah, that's... Okay, so that's what it's called about. I just, you know, sorry to put off other callers, but I was just curious about that.
No, we are so happy you called in, because this was just such an impromptu show, because our guest was sick and couldn't call in. So we've just been winging it here. And now, Sherry, have you ever experienced any ghosts or anything that you would want to share with the audience?
I would say not ghosts, but in my dreams, my mother and my sister, big time, they're always there in my dreams, and I always wonder why they're there all the time. Sometimes I wonder if it's because they're coming to get me or coming to take me, or it's my sign that I'm going to go, but they're always impromptu times. They're when I go to sleep, they're there. And there's some nights where I don't even see them or hear or nothing from them. But there are times where it's tragedy, and there's times where it's happy. So it's kind of weird.
Well, I think that's their way of communicating with you. I don't think it means that it's your time to go. It's just your method of getting, you know, messages from them. And that at least that's what other psychics have told us on the show. So... Right on.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Thank you for calling in and sharing that.
Well, I thank you for taking my call.
All right, Sherry. Thank you. Good night. We're going to take the next caller here on Paranormal Horizons.
Well, you guys have a great show. It's an awesome show, and I really love listening to it. So anybody out there is listening, keep listening.
Thank
you. Great. Thank you.
Good night.
Wow, we have just been repeatedly assaulted by a cat.
Yeah.
I had to come up with an excuse to play the cat sound. Sorry.
Well, that's appropriate because he jumped up twice, spilled the water.
Yeah. Crazy things happening on Paranormal Horizons tonight.
It's your fault, though, because, you know, Jason is a cat dude, which is one of the things I love about him. And I have three cats, and we broadcast here in the home. And Tuna is just so drawn to Jason that he's just got to be, like, all over him. So, anyway.
Well, I got this cat vibe thing going.
I know.
Everybody, you know, I'm like this big, scary biker, and I've got this soft, tender feline side to me. In fact, I was wearing a shirt. Get this. I don't know if you saw this picture, but I was wearing a shirt that had two cats. This is on the front of the shirt. Two cats riding on two strips of bacon. It's a real shirt. And that shows my devotion to cats.
I did not see that, but that is very cool. All right. Who's that? Is that Joey Giggle?
I think it's Joey Giggle.
Oh, we love Joey.
Bring him on. Joey.
Yo, what's
going on?
Oh, you guys are hysterical tonight. I can't. You guys are great. I'm telling you. Wait. I mean, like Jason with the kitties, and I'm telling you. I don't know. I don't know. It's great. It's awesome. But
it's been a weird show.
Yeah, actually, there was a little feedback before, but now it's a little better. I don't know. I was getting like double talk on somebody's end, but now it's coming in better. But what's it called? That movie Lucy she was talking about, really interesting film with Scarlett Johansson, and that's actually what she does is she repels the evil, you know, which is a really good question that she asked, the last caller asked, you know, so
yeah. Absolutely. I mean, Joey, what do you think? Do you think we're using all of our brain?
They're saying online that we use all our brains. It's a myth.
I don't think I am.
Most people, it depends. I mean, it depends on knowledge. I think it honestly depends on the retention of knowledge, honestly. You know, the more you learn, the more you use your brain. You know, to me, you know, that's what it is. I mean, like, the more knowledge you retain, the more brain that you use, you know. I don't know if there's really superpowers when you use more of your brain, but, you know, do I believe in it? If there's a possibility that we could use more of our brain and have superpowers, then I would love to have that. But, you know, I just think in reality it's more just telling us to learn, and you could increase your knowledge, which basically increases your brain power, you know. So,
good point.
So let me ask you this, Joey. If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
That's a good one. I would love to read people's minds, honestly. I honestly would love to read people's minds. I would love to read people's minds and be able to just get in there and see what people actually are thinking, you know. That's something I would like. I would like to know what people are thinking, you know. That would be my superpower.
That'd be kind of scary.
That would be kind of scary.
I don't know if I'd want to know what people. Well, I don't know what people. I don't want to know what people really think of me. I mean,
I know.
That would, yeah.
I know, but then, Joey, if you had that ability, you'd just be so inundated with all these, you know, people's thoughts, unless you'd have to have the ability to shut it off.
Yeah.
You'd be so overwhelmed.
Oh, I definitely would be. But then I would know, you know, who's actually, you know, fake and who's real. You know what I'm saying? Type of thing. It goes a little deeper. You know, I really don't want to get into it, but, you know, there's just issues that have been happening. So I would love to know what, you know, people are thinking, you know, people's mindsets. That would be a superpower. At this point, right now, I would say I want that, you know, but if it was something else, like down the road, I would love to be able to fly like Superman, you know, but
that'd
yeah.
be cool.
Yeah.
I don't know what superpower I'd want. I think moving stuff with your mind would be kind of cool, but I'd have to think
that,
about
that
it.
Would be cool.
Being invisible would be cool too.
I think
being
if somebody
invisible.
Shot, yeah.
Well, I noticed that we only have 10 minutes left, so I'm going to shoot through these last three here.
Okay.
You want to stay on with us, Joy?
Yeah, I'll stay on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Might as well finish the list.
Yeah.
All right, number three, the Shroud of Turin. Debate still rages over the authenticity of the Shroud of Turin, believed by many to be the burial cloth of Jesus Christ. The image of a man apparently dead from crucifixion is most obvious when viewed as a photographic negative. The image was first revealed in 1898 by an amateur photographer, Secondo Pia, who had photographed the Shroud of Turin, photographed the shroud at Turin Cathedral. I'm kind of reading at an angle here, so it's hard. I'm tilted a little bit here.
You're doing fine.
I'm freaking out. Scientific examinations indicate that the image was made with a tempera paint sometime between 1260 and 1390 AD. This fits with the bishop's claim at the time that he had heard an artist confess to the work. So hard to read. Many people dispute these dates, and additional examination planned for this year, and that was in 2008, should address their concerns and hopefully end the mystery once and for all. So basically, there's this cloth that, if you look at it from a photographic negative, shows something that looks to be similar to what they suspect that they believe Jesus looked like. And
I just want to believe that it was his face. I don't, you know, I'm that's disappointing. I don't know. I'm it probably was a fake, but darn it, when I heard about that, I was thinking, wow, that's really cool.
I thought it was. What do you think, Joy? The Shroud of Turin. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, I believe in it, and I hope it was his face. I really do. At least people then say, oh wow, yeah, maybe God is coming back to Earth, you know. So,
we shouldn't give much credence to this artist that said he produced it. Maybe he's just making it up.
Well, look how powerful Jesus Christ was anyway. Whether you believe everything in the Bible or not, I do believe, you know, in the man Jesus Christ and the miracles that he performed and his, you know, his ability to teach and, you know, all of the lessons that have held through for all of these years. So I just felt like if there was his image on that cloth, that would have been something that was also, you know, kind of a miracle, if you will, at that time when it happened. So,
very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we got two more here, so I'm going to race through these. This one's kind of long, and it's something that I've never heard of before. Number two, the 100th monkey. The 100th monkey effect was initially popularized by two books. One of them was called Rhymes of Vision. That was in 1975 by Lawrence Blair, and Lifetime, which came out in 1979 by Lyle Watson. Both authors relate the same story. So here it is, the 100th monkey. In the 1960s, scientists were studying a group of Japanese macaw monkeys learning a new skill, which was washing sweet potatoes. That's a skill I don't want. At first, the monkeys learned slowly by copying each other, but then something unexpected happened. When a certain number of monkeys had learned how to wash the sweet potatoes, other populations of monkeys located on different islands began to spontaneously acquire the skill. This phenomenon spawned a wave of theories, including Rupert Sheldrake's morphic resonance. It suggests that there's a mysterious connection of consciousness between living beings. The New Age movement embraced the research, and it became the cornerstone of many inspirational works, including The 100th Monkey in 1984 by Kenneth Keyes Jr. Unfortunately, the 100th monkey effect never happened. According to the original research papers, the monkeys learned at a normal rate by imitating each other. The spontaneous learning scenario was entirely fictional, and it was added later. The 100th monkey effect is the quiet achiever of the paranormal hoaxes. It has never gained the mainstream notoriety of other hoaxes, but it scores highly for the way it has entrenched itself in the psyche of millions. And so that's pretty much it. I've never heard of the 100th monkey. That's bizarre to me.
I have not heard of it either, but I have always been a firm believer of things that I've read that animals do have certain, they have different abilities than we do.
Why is it the 100th monkey? Why can't it be the 99th monkey?
Details, I don't know, Jason. Here he goes into these details, but I don't know, Joey, what do you think about that?
Well, I never heard of that one before. That's a new one for me. What do I think? It sounds like sounds more like Darwinism than anything else. It sounds like you know, survival of the fittest, stimuli, stimulation. You know, I don't really understand that. It's weird to me. I don't know how monkeys in another part of the world would feel. You know, when other monkeys in another part of the world, you know, start dancing and or doing things. I have no idea. But, you know, honestly, the only thing I could attribute it to is probably, you know, like I said, Darwinism and stimuli and stimulus. But that's about it.
So, yeah, that's a, okay. Well, we've only got a few more minutes. So we've got one more, right, Jason?
That's right. Number one. And I don't think this is in any particular order. So I don't know. Biggest hoax or not, but number one, the Fox sisters. Although not well known today, the Fox sisters are responsible for one of the most influential hoaxes of all time. Even now, more than 150 years since the original events, the effects can still be seen in the spiritual beliefs of millions of people. In 1848, two New York sisters named Kate and Margaret Fox claimed that they could communicate with the spirit in their home by means of audible tapping, also known as rapping. Joined by the older sister, Leigh, the sisters toured the United States and built support for their spiritualist movement. By 1853, spiritualism claimed over 2 million followers worldwide, largely
You're doing good. You're doing good.
You know, it's one of these...
He's drinking Coca-Cola.
I know. You're the one with the wine.
What?
I'm drinking Coke. Hey, I'm sober. I haven't had any alcohol in 3 years, but occasionally these words just get to me, and I don't know why.
I know.
It's funny. We'll skip that word. Largely blank by the success of the Fox sisters, the idea that humans might be able to communicate with the spirits became part of Western culture, which continues to this day. Rappings have long since gone out of fashion, but the basic belief in communication by cryptic signals remains popular. Margaret Fox explained how rappings worked in a signed confession published in New York World on October 21st, 1888. So here's what she says. My sister Katie was the first to observe that by swishing her fingers, she could produce certain noises with her knuckles and joints, and that the same effect could be made with toes. Finding that we could make raps with our feet, first with one foot and then the other and both. We practiced until we could do this easily when the room was dark, like most perplexing things. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. It's not a good sense.
Wow.
Anyways, these people basically confessed to learning how to make the noises. And the Fox sisters later fell out with each other. Leigh married a respected businessman, while Margaret and Kate developed severe drinking problems. Go figure. All three sisters died within 5 years, Margaret and Kate, as ostracized paupers. What's a pauper? P-A-U-P-E-R-S.
That means somebody poor.
Oh, is that
a pauper.
Is that like old school?
Yeah.
That's news to me.
Yeah, but you know what, you guys? This is the first rappers of our time.
Yeah, the rappers.
Yeah.
Breaking down a really cryptic paranormal rap.
Yeah, but... yeah, but as you were reading the story, I was finding it believable where, you know, I've heard of stories of, you know, spirits, you know, communicating with noises.
Yeah,
and
knocks on walls.
And rappers, but then as you read further and then they admitted that it was a hoax. Well, that.
This is why I'm becoming more and more skeptical in the paranormal. Like,
Well, we have to be
there's
careful.
So much fakery.
Yeah.
Like, what's real anymore?
Yeah. Well, we got to follow our feelings on that. And I'm a firm believer in, you know, I just take what I believe and, you know, throw away the rest because we just don't know. So
let me, here, let's have a little fun here for a second.
Okay.
So I was struggling with this sentence. I want to hear you read it.
Okay.
This is, read this sentence starting here by 1853.
By 1853, spiritualism claimed over 2 million followers worldwide, largely buoyed by the sex. That is a weird, that's a typo, man. Buoyed by the success of the Fox sisters.
I see, it's not just me.
I don't even know why that word is in there.
Well, I know what it's like a buoy is. But it just doesn't work. It's weird.
Yeah, they were trying to say, you know, it should have said escalated. That would have been a better word. So.
Okay, I feel better now.
Hey, Joey, thanks for putting up with us tonight. It's just, you know, we had a cancellation on a guest, and we didn't want to not have a show. So we really...
Yeah, and we couldn't connect. Skype wouldn't connect.
Oh, yeah.
I had an issue with Skype, too. That's why I came on so late. Otherwise, I would have been on earlier. Yeah.
So it was Skype again.
Yep.
Technical problem.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, you know, next week, Jason, we are doing a episode, one of our
paranormal
parodies.
Yes.
Yeah.
This should have been a paranormal parody.
I love those.
We're going to be doing another one. We have a special guest.
Wait till you hear the name.
Yeah.
Do you want me to say it, or
please,
do you remember?
No, please do, because I lost it.
Barbie Hammer is going to be calling into the show. Is that not the greatest name ever? Barbie Hammer.
Barbie Hammer.
What does that even mean? Who would name somebody Barbie Hammer?
Well, I don't know, but, you know, don't invalidate.
No, I can't make fun. I'm sorry.
You know who she is. She's got a story. You know,
an amazing story.
She's got a lot of stuff that she wants to tell us about Zach Bagans.
Yeah, apparently she is a super fan that is super obsessed with Ghost Adventures, and I don't know where it's going to go. To me, based on the information that I have at hand, it sounded like it might be a little unhealthy kind of thing going on. But,
well, you know, Jason, look what we encountered, you know, last time with our, you know, when we had Bob and Cynthia, and, you know, Cynthia,
a love connection.
Cynthia was trying to save an overweight, you know, woman, and then Bob called in, who was an overweight
man. And there was, like, this love connection thing going on. Like, like Bob wanted to hook up with Cynthia.
And we had to remind them it wasn't a dating show.
Yeah, and Cynthia was in the mall, and she was being chased by federal agents. And it was really intense.
Yeah, you know, and then the whole time, you know, I really appreciated Cynthia sharing her story about an alien coming from the planet Gital and, you know, trying to save humans. But she inhabited a body, and then they were at, like, McDonald's chowing down on a couple Big Macs.
Saving humanity 1 pound at a time.
Yeah,
I don't get it. Like, if you're an alien race and you're going to come all this way to save humanity, why would you focus on obesity? Why not, like figure out how to stop wars? And
yeah, so we couldn't quite, we weren't real clear on that, but, you know, we might have another show. Although I think that there was a good outcome that Cynthia was willing to meet with Bob to help Bob with his overweight problem because he couldn't get out of his basement.
That's right. I think he lived with his family. Oh, no, that's what it was. It was creepier than that. It almost sounded like his mom had passed and he kept her in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really...
He was in a fantasy world.
I don't know if that's true or not, but yeah.
Well, Bob, I know Bob got a little crazy there and, you know, all he wanted to do was talk about food.
Oh.
Yeah, they did the description of, that's right. She was eating a big hamburger or something, and then Bob was wanting, like, a description, like, saying, you know, what's the cheese? What kind of cheese you have on it? And he was, like, getting all weird.
I know, and then he got upset because she had pickles on it.
Yeah, he don't like, apparently Bob don't like pickles.
Yeah, so we were...
Did you hear that one, Joey?
No, I heard. I like the one with the alien. I heard the one with the alien that time when you had the woman alien on.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, that was great.
That was
great.
Cynthia. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Anyway,
great.
But we're really looking forward to another, you know, Barbie Hammer.
Barbie Hammer.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
man.
A great name. I don't understand it. Like, but yeah, she's apparently really, 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 really obsessed with the crew of that TV show.
Yeah, I hope Zach gets a chance to listen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'll send him the link.
So. Well, everybody, our time is running out. Thank you so much, Joey Giggles, for calling in. Check out all of Joey's shows.
Yeah. Hey, Joey, what do you got going on for shows?
Oh, man. I'm telling you, we got a lot of great shows coming up. We got a lot of great paranormal shows coming up. Actually, we got Dave Scott from Spaced Out Radio on the 18th, 3 to 4:30 p.m., and then we have three mediums. Actually, one is a healer. We have Kelly Jo Monahan, who's our resident medium. And we have Supernatural Encounters with medium Amma Jordan, who is part of Spaced Out Radio. So we got them coming up all in a row, 25th, 26th, 27th. And that should be interesting as well. And then we got the anniversary shows coming up. Yeah, WYRN 4th anniversary show coming up on the 16th. And JGF organization, the organization that I founded, is its 6th anniversary show on the 17th, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So come join us over there on WYRN.
And that also plays on Blog Talk Radio / Joey Giggles. Right?
Yes. Yep.
Awesome.
Well, right on. Yep. Well, hey, Joey, we'll talk with you later. And
yes, definitely.
And again, Paranormal Horizon.
Thanks, Joey.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Good night.
Bye.
All right, Jason. Well, yeah.
That was interesting.
Yeah, you know, everybody, I hope that you enjoy listening to the show tonight. We had a little ups and downs, but we had fun and hope that you enjoyed some of the hoaxes that we went through. And we had a couple great callers. Sherry called in here from the Oregon area and Joey Giggles from the East Coast. And next week we've got another paranormal comedy with a Barbie Hammer calling in.
And we have to do something about Tuna jumping up.
He wants to be part of the show.
I can't blame him.
He went away. He got in a little trouble. So, but anyway, everybody, tune in next Tuesday, 7 p.m. Pacific time. Catch the rebroadcast of this show at KITCFM, KITCFM.com, 10 p.m. Pacific time, Saturday. We'll talk to you next week.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
You have been listening to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Pat Rice and Jason Ophir. Be sure to come listen to the show next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Blog Talk Radio. And also, check out our Facebook at Paranormal Horizons on Facebook.